a radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G.
Joe and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah!
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Welcome in to Gallant George here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Joe George, Sean Mapes, Anthony with you here today. We think Paul will return tomorrow. He has no voice today.
No voice.
Which, like, that's got to be tough for Paul Gallant.
I mean, I imagine it's easy at his house. I don't know how much he's talking around his house. Oh, he probably is talking.
You don't think Paul just, like, talks to himself?
No, he definitely
does.
Love
you, Paul.
He definitely does. Yeah. Especially, I know there's some frustration with
technology.
Well, also, yesterday, we were given a text that led us to believe that there's maybe some frustration with the healthcare system in America.
Yep.
Specifically, the pharmacy. How fast they're filling an order for him. So maybe not. He's not trying to take the entire system down like other people are in the news recently, but he is frustrated.
I shouldn't have laughed at that. You shouldn't have said that joke, but like it was funny.
Other big eyebrowed individuals,
yeah, for sure. I mean, Luigi Gallant back tomorrow here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We hope. All right, so Alex Bregman, we're still waiting for any kind of like actual news. It's kind of stayed status quo over the last week plus. Like I really thought we were going to see more movement after the Juan Soto move.
Yeah.
So I thought he would, you know, get signed quickly.
I thought it was going to get signed during the Friday show after Kyle Tucker got traded. I was fully expecting that on Monday, Alex Bregman would have a team as well. I was expecting things to move that fast.
Yeah, I heard you and Dell talking about it where, like, you're, first of all, begging for it to happen.
This week.
During the Dell show.
That too. Yeah.
So that way you guys could, you know, take advantage, which, you know what? You're right. It is great.
Everyone hopes for that.
Yeah. Oh, it's the best. I mean, I used to love, whether it was at the last job or when I was with the Bees and it was like when the trade deadlines were 3 o'clock.
Oh yeah.
And you're just like, oh, we're cold. The deadline ends at 3. The show starts at 3. Like we're totally fine.
You got 2:15, 2:30. Like you got it all figured
but,
out.
We are just waiting for anything of substance to happen with Alex Bregman. But yesterday, there were two different interviews done on the MLB Network, one by Chandler Rome, one by Brian McTaggart, both giving their thoughts on the status, the latest on Alex Bregman. And to be honest with you, neither sound great. Anthony, we'll start with Chandler Rome. Here's Chandler Rome talking about how he doesn't think the Astros have the appetite to bring back Alex Bregman.
As long as Alex Bregman is unsigned, I'm never going to say never when it comes to the Astros, but it does seem like they don't have the appetite to pay him the sort of money that he is going to command. They've got an offer out there, according to multiple reports, that's around 6 years, $156 million. It's worth remembering that owner Jim Crane has never guaranteed a player more than $151 million in his ownership tenure. He has been loath to go longer than 6 years in any contract. And so it just seems like this is where the Astros are comfortable, this offer that they gave to Alex Bregman. Now, is there flexibility to increase it, to negotiate? Dana Brown really wouldn't say at the GM meetings if they were prepared to increase the offer, if they had any flexibility.
So that's what we knew, that the offer is what it is. There was the report also that, you know, that there was a $50 million gap and that the Astros would be willing to raise the bar a little bit. We haven't heard anything official about that or any actual, you know, tangible reporting. You know, Bob Nightingale was the first one, I think, with the $156 million report. Like, there hasn't been a follow-up of, well, the Astros have come back to, you know, 180.
Well, I think there was, yes, there's not been a number, but there has been, I think, did Dana Brown say that they've made another offer out to, they still have an offer out, or it was something to that effect of, they made it seem like they're still involved in some sort of bidding process for Alex Bregman. Now, that is coming from Dana Brown. So you can take that with the biggest grain of salt possible, because Dana Brown is always just going to say whatever sounds the most positive and optimistic for the Astros' chances of retaining their best players, which they don't do.
Yeah, because reminder, August 9th, 2023, he said Kyle Tucker will be an Astro forever.
Yeah.
He was wrong.
I mean, he made it over a year.
You're right. He did make it more than a year.
Not quite forever, though.
Yeah. So that's the, that was the first one from Chandler that stood out to me from his interview on the MLB Network. I know he's not everyone's cup of tea. I understand why. Everyone does, for the most part, love Brian McTaggart, though.
Yes, they do.
Well, he's not going to make you feel any better, because here's Brian McTaggart saying he doesn't think Bregman's coming back.
As far as the Astros go, I think there's a gulf there. I don't think they'll be able to sign him unless Astros ownership goes against what they've done in years past, which they don't want to give out these 7-8 year deals. They don't want to give $200-250 million, because they will tell you, if you look at most of these deals, they don't work out in the long run. And yep. It's worked out well for the Astros. They let Springer walk. They let Cole walk. They let Correa walk. And they just keep continuing to win. So they have a business model and how they want to do this. And if they're going to stick with that, which I think they will, Bregman's not going to fit into that.
What I think is interesting about that is it's just like he brings up the past. And it's, while it's factual, I do think that the past should, for Jim Crane, be viewed differently, like with Alex Bregman. Because you had Kyle Tucker for Springer. You had Pena for Correa. You have Cam Smith and Paredes and Bryce Matthews. Like, that combination of guys who could potentially replace Alex Bregman. But you still don't have a first baseman. And you're still rolling out an outfield right now that looks like Mauricio Dubon, Chaz McCormick, and Jake Myers. So while, yes, you've let players walk, and it's been fine. It's partially been fine because when Springer left, you still had Altuve, Bregman, Tucker, Yordan, Correa. And then when Correa left, you still had almost all of those guys. And now you're down to Altuve and Yordan Alvarez and Yainer Diaz.
Yeah.
Which is a good 1-3. And then Paredes batting somewhere in that mix. Maybe he's in the two hole. But you're just lacking the depth in your lineup to where I think the past business decisions are the right path to continue going down this road. It feels like they're going to. If Brian and Chandler are both willing to go on the MLB Network and essentially say they don't think Alex Bregman's going to be back, he's not going to be back.
Yeah, that is what it says to me, because these guys would... I mean, Chandler and... I know Chandler specifically because we have him on with Paul about once in off season. I know how willing he is to say, I can't say, or I don't know, or, and it's sometimes frustrating, but you do know that he is being honest when he says, I'm not comfortable saying who the, even when he was on last week, he mentioned that in the Kyle Tucker trade, there's going to be a pitcher involved, but he wasn't comfortable saying which pitcher it was, but he was perfectly comfortable saying it's going to be Isak Paredes and probably Cam Smith as the primary assets coming back to the Astros. But he doesn't, unless he feels good about reporting, unless he feels comfortable saying it, he will not say it. So for him to go on record on national TV and say, anything could happen, but I don't think it's going to happen, that to me tells you all you need to know about Alex Bregman coming back.
Yeah. And I also, when I was listening to you and Dell, I thought it was funny hearing you guys talk about like how long this is going to go for. I'm starting to really wonder, like, if we're talking
February?
Yeah. Alex Bregman's not signed yet. We went over this at the very start of the show. We thought it was going to happen quickly. What happened with Cody Bellinger, Matt Chapman, and these guys last year? They just sat in free agency. It's what led to my take of Scott Boras being washed, that they're just sitting out there waiting for the money to come, and it never arrived. And that's kind of the vibe that obviously, I'm not a reporter. I don't know these things. I don't pretend to know these things. But my guess is that Alex Bregman wants a certain amount of money, and nobody is offering it to him. That he and Scott Boras think he is worth X value, and no one, even though the Yankees, Red Sox, Astros, Cubs, whoever have money, are not reaching that number. If they reach that number, he'd be signed.
Yeah.
And it means to me that he's not there. Very similar to Carlos Correa. Not how it was with George Springer, obviously. But they're just playing this waiting game, thinking the money's just going to show up one day. And so I don't know. Like, if I was a team, I wouldn't be concerned about Alex Bregman working hard in the offseason. Like, we know that's going to happen. He could show up the third week of spring training and like it's no big deal.
Yeah, he's still going to start terribly for April and May. Exactly. And still, and
the only
turn
team
it on.
It would affect would be the Dodgers or the Cubs because they play two regular season games in the middle of March.
Oh, really? Oh, I guess
they play in Korea or Japan.
Yeah, okay.
They're doing that weird thing where they go.
They play two regular season
and then
games
go back to spring training.
And then have the opening
so
day.
Yeah. It's so stupid. But that's just where I think that's where we're at with Bregman. And I really don't think that this is coming to a resolution anytime soon. And I don't know if it means the Astros are out. Because the longer it waits, like maybe the $156 million looks better. Or Jim Crane goes up just a tiny little bit more.
Yeah.
And Alex Bregman ends up coming back to the Houston Astros.
Yeah, that was always the... For me, the biggest chance or the biggest hope for Alex Bregman returning to the Astros was that, and this is not good for Alex Bregman, that the market for Alex Bregman was going to be worse than imagined or worse than Scott Boras and Bregman believed, was that the offer that the Astros were comfortable to give is not what Alex Bregman wants, but then you take a look around and it's the best one that he's going to get. And yeah. That, while I don't think is super, I still don't think is super likely to be the option, the longer this goes, that does lend credence to what you're saying, where the market must not be as hot for Bregman as it is, as it was believed. And you bring up a good point. All the guys last year that were represented by Scott Boras that took it all the way down to the wire with free agency, I mean, he got the Juan Soto deal done, but that's Juan freaking Soto.
Exactly. Like, it doesn't count.
It is a little bit of an outlier to have a 25-year-old free agent who's already proven he's one of the best players in baseball. Like, yeah, that guy's going to get signed pretty fast. It's the other guys. Now, Blake Snell did get signed the week before, or maybe the earlier that week that Soto got signed. I believe he still is a Boras client. He's one of the Boras guys that didn't drop Boras.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, is he not?
I think he might have been one of the guys who fired Scott.
Okay. I know that I think Bellinger, like some of them kept him. And
oh, no, it was Jordan Montgomery fired Scott Boras.
Okay.
And Blake Snell did not.
Okay.
You're right.
So Blake Snell and Juan Soto, I believe, are the two high-level Boras clients that were free agents and have a new team signed. The rest of them, Alex Bregman included, don't. And I wonder how much is it a new era for Scott Boras where now he can actually get these guys paid before Christmas or before New Year's? Or how much of it is those are the outliers? Maybe Blake Snell told Scott Boras, like, hey, listen, I don't want to do that again. I don't want to wait.
I want to get signed.
The first good deal that we get, like, let's just take it. If it's from the Dodgers, awesome.
Well, and honestly, I think part of what Brian McTaggart said at the end of his, like, the Astros have this business model. They follow it. They see these contracts that are 5, 6, 7 years. They don't typically end well. Well, part of the reason why is because most of those are Scott Boras clients.
Yeah.
Like, and it's because he attracts bigger names, right, as an agent. So that's not something he's doing wrong. But it's just the reality of where it is. And it's just, it wouldn't shock me if like we wake up one day and Alex Bregman has signed a deal with the Astros or someone else for like 3 years, $90 million.
With an opt-out.
With opt-outs after the first year and the second year.
Yeah.
And just gets like $30 million a year, gets a way higher AAV, but at least like is secured for the next 3 years and try to, you know, opt out of it like Matt Chapman did to get a new contract. If he's terrible, you stay in it with Cody Bellinger, what he did. Like you have options.
Yeah.
Jordan Montgomery, terrible. Kept it, right?
Yes.
Like, so you have options. So I don't think we're near the end of this Alex Bregman story. I don't think it means that he's gone or he's here, because I still think, like, if he was really that hot of a commodity, that he'd be signed.
Yeah, I ultimately think that either he gets signed before Christmas or we're looking at February.
I think that's a good take. It's just either in the next 8 days.
I mean, you could honestly say that with like almost every baseball free agent, is that either the market is hot enough or, you know, he is motivated enough to get a deal done early, or it's going to go on for months and months and months. That's just how MLB free agency goes.
Yeah. The ultimate question for the Astros will be if they're really, you know, Chandler said this as well, talking about Nolan Arenado and how much he wants, like how much interest the Astros have in him. At some point, that trade may have to come to fruition before Alex Bregman makes a decision, and they might be put in a really uncomfortable position where having to choose, just having to make that choice before Alex Bregman's ready to make his decision, because you can't lose out on both guys. If that's your plan A and plan B, you got to get one of them for sure. All right, the Texans have officially made the playoffs. They are AFC South champions. What do you want to see the next three games? And plus, the latest on Patrick Mahomes before his game versus the Texans on Saturday. That's next year on Glant and George on ESPN 97.5 and
92.5. It's Glant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Glant and Joe George.
Joe and Sean here with you today, hoping for the return of Paul Glant tomorrow before he leaves us again for vacation. Update for, so plans for next week. Let's see. We'll all be here on Monday, for the most part, at the Christmas party at Nick's place. We'll be there starting at 7 a.m. with John and Lance all the way until 6 p.m. with the Killer Bees. Obviously, all the chaos is happening between 7 to 10 a.m. I heard you guys talking about that as well, just like the how overmodulated and terrible it sounds on the radio, but how fun it is. We are going to have a secondary camera this year. So if you can't come for some reason, if your work is a terrible place and it's making you work on the Monday of like 2 days before
Christmas. Or maybe you're traveling.
Or maybe you're traveling. So if you're going to miss the Christmas party, we're going to have a secondary camera. So as the eggnog chugging contest and the other eating contest, that I don't know if I can publicly say yet, is happening. It'll be on camera on YouTube at ESPN Houston and on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN.
And I believe it'll be a dual screen, so you'll be able to see.
You'll be able to see John and Lance's reaction
to the
eggnog. Dell's disgust, and then the puking of eggnog happening at one time. You'll see all of it.
Perfect.
Can't wait.
2024. What a beautiful year we
took us long enough to do things like this, but here we are. But then I'll be on Thursday and Friday from noon to three with Jeremy Branham as Paul, and everyone else is on the stations off except for Jeremy, so I'll be working with Jeremy those days.
Well, and reacting to...
And reacting to a Texans win against the
only people in the city probably reacting to that game.
Very possible. Next three games for the Texans. Saturday versus the Chiefs. Just got a report that Patrick Mahomes is going to try to see how it's going, or is going to give it a go today at practice. He is moving quicker than expected, so maybe he will play on Saturday.
What is this guy's deal?
I don't know. He's got ankle. He's got like Steph Curry ankles though, right?
Or the Chiefs are the opposite of the Astros, and they make everything sound terrible. And this is a much minor high ankle sprain than we think. But normally, like high ankle sprains, like you're out for at least a couple weeks.
Yeah, he said that Patrick Mahomes said his injury has responded better, quicker than his high ankle sprain he had in the playoffs versus Jacksonville 2 years ago.
And he didn't miss any time with that. So
yeah, so awesome. There's a chance he's out. He's playing on Saturday versus the Texans. Then you play the Ravens on Christmas. Then you play the Titans at the end of the year. Probably, you know, Davis Mills versus Mason Rudolph. Or hopefully Davis Mills versus Mason Rudolph, to where we don't have to talk about it the next day. What do you want to see the next three games from the Texans?
I want to see this offensive line, this new look offensive line, stay together. Or not just stay together, but then actually come together and have some chemistry in. Like we said yesterday, I think we both were overall okay with how they perform pass blocking. The four sacks, we're not giving all credit to them, or discredit, I guess, to them on those. We think CJ is responsible for at least a few of those sacks, at least a couple of those sacks on Sunday. The biggest issue for me is the running game. Like, you're going to have to be able to run the ball if you're going to make any noise whatsoever in the playoffs. Like, we talk about how far can this defense take them, and a lot of times these defensive first NFL teams, when they do go far, it's because they're playing, what is it, complementary football. And that means they're able to maintain possession when they're on offense by just running the ball, just holding the ball. You don't even have to move it. Just hold the ball, buy your defense some time, play the field position game. Last week, with 12 carries for 23 yards for Joe Mixon, I'm throwing out the Dare one carry for 35 yards because that was not an offensive line play. I'm kind of throwing out the Tank Dell reverse for 15 yards.
Because he did a lot of that on his own.
Yeah. So for the most part, you're looking at 12 carries for 23 yards from Joe Mixon, who did get banged up in that game, but was not exactly lighting it up before he got hurt. His longest rush was, get this, 5 yards. That's so bad. I cannot believe it. This offensive line unit, because we've seen the Texans in really the last couple of years, that it does matter who is playing on the offensive line for whether they can run the ball or not. We kind of take it for granted. We think of offensive line play as only pass blocking. How good are you as a pass blocking unit? where the Texans have shown that they can have either a good run blocking unit or a good pass blocking unit. They really haven't had have been able to have both happening at the same time. They haven't found that combination. I want to see this combination be able to run the ball. It's going to be hard against the Chiefs. I'm actually kind of willing to just not give them full credit if they fall on their face for that. But the next couple games after that, against the Ravens, against the Titans team, I want to see them be able to run the ball.
Yeah, for me, it's pretty simple for the Ravens game. I want to look ahead to that one because their pass defense is not good. And they've struggled all year against quality quarterbacks and even lesser than quarterbacks defending the pass. Their secondary is banged up. Like, they've just not put together the performance like the Baltimore Ravens typically do. And if the Texans can't throw the ball in that game, then they got no shot to do anything, right? Like you have to be able to throw the ball against the Ravens. The Chiefs game, that's a really good defense. It's going to be a slugfest. Like, my guess is I'll take under 42 points for the game. I don't even know if that's the over-under number. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to make my own up. But, like,
for the Chiefs game?
Yeah.
I can
find, I'm going to guess, like, 20-17 is the final score of the Texans game against the Chiefs on Sunday.
I think for a Chiefs game, it needs to be like a weirder score. It needs to be like 19-15 or something, where you're like, how do we even end up at this combination?
So what is that, 5 field goals from Kyrie?
maybe he pulls the Chris Boswell and scores 5. The number right now on ESPN Bet that I'm seeing is 39.5.
Yikes.
That is Big Ten football numbers.
So, okay. 39.5. I think I'll take the under. Yeah. I think I'll take the under on Saturday.
Yeah, the 19-20 gets you there.
Yep. That sounds about right.
Or yeah, it does. So yeah, with
or without Mahomes. Doesn't matter. I mean, maybe it's better without Mahomes. No, I'm just kidding.
The under is better without Mahomes?
I think the over is better without Mahomes.
Yes.
Because like at least Carson Wentz might give you a pick six.
That's exactly what I was gonna say. The biggest flaw in my the Texans might mess around and lose to the Chiefs even without Carson Wentz is that Carson Wentz will give you the ball at some point.
Yeah.
And it's just a matter of how bad that turnover is going to be and how either the defense or the offense can cash in on that. But yeah, I agree overall that this Chiefs game, I expect it to be lower scoring.
All right, when we get back, the college football six-pack, we're going to kind of run through a couple of these items quickly and then have a bigger discussion about the biggest complaint happening in college football, the transfer portal. We'll do that next here on Glotton George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
In 1930, the Republican-controlled House of Representatives, in an effort to
boring.
The effect of the
time to put down the books and crack open a college football six-pack.
We're going streaking through the quad and into the gymnasium. Come on, everybody!
With Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Let's do it.
Let's do it!
Time for the college football six pack here at ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Bunch of stuff to go over. Travis Hunter. Joe George and Sean Mapes here with you, by the way. Travis Hunter won the Heisman.
Congratulations.
His girlfriend's not happy.
No, and yeah, this really sucks that Travis Hunter wins the Heisman. It's one of the closer Heisman. It actually is the closest Heisman race, I think, since 2009.
Yeah.
And Monday and Tuesday afterwards, we're like, gosh, his girlfriend sucks. God.
Well, she kind of does.
It does seem like she does. We only get glimpses of their relationship through social media. But I wouldn't say she's captivating the hearts and minds of America.
Yeah, I mean, like, not standing up when he gets announced as the winner of the trophy. Dion having to tell her to stand up. The weird interaction where he's taking photos with the fans and she's just kind of yapping at him. And just being,
or it's like basically like, can we go home as he's, or no, yeah. What am I supposed to do? Just sit here and watch you take pictures while he's at an Adidas event taking pictures of fans?
Yeah, I'd be like, yes. That's what I'm getting paid to do. That relationship's going to last for a long time.
They're currently engaged. Wedding, I think, is this spring. So,
all right, Travis, run. That's my advice. That's my advice.
Bro. I don't know, Travis. I don't know enough to weigh.
Look, we don't know. We're like, because is CeeDee Lamb still with the girl we stole the phone from? I don't know. He could be, and like maybe think maybe they're happy endings, but like it doesn't seem great. Marcus Freeman got a big contract extension over the weekend by Notre Dame, 6 years, or now he's under contract for the next 6 years. I think this was very clearly the right move. I'm not really sure, like, where he would go. I mean, I know the Ohio State stuff is out there. And he play for Ohio State?
Yeah, he was a linebacker.
I don't think he's an Ohio State guy. No.
Yeah, I mean, he literally did go there.
I think that's Vrabel's job.
Yeah, I wonder how
if Vrabel wants to go to college.
Yeah, I was going to say, I wonder how much he wants to go to college. But, yeah, that is definitely something that if you're on Ohio State message boards, you're like, Vrabel, Marcus Freeman, or I don't know who else they would want. Probably someone else who went to, Luke Fickell, who all went to Ohio State, all, I think, coached at some point at Ohio State, at least as assistants. Yeah, I think Marcus Freeman has done a good job at Notre Dame. It is kind of a new world, so it is hard to judge him, even against like what Brian Kelly did for most of Brian Kelly's run at Notre Dame. But, I mean, getting in the playoff, being the seventh seed, right,
mm-hmm.
in the first one, I think so far so good with Marcus Freeman.
Yeah, definitely.
Stop losing to MAC teams, but other than that,
I think seconded. Agreed. Update weather forecast right now for the playoff games this week.
Oh, okay.
Weather talk.
Yeah.
We're going to air all these games. Friday night, 30 degrees, 30% chance of snow in South Bend.
Okay.
Now they're playing Indiana, so like in Indiana. It's like, it'll be fine.
Yeah, I wonder how far the campuses are. They'll probably tell us during the broadcast.
That's a great question. I actually don't know how far Bloomington is from South Bend.
They're definitely going to tell us during the broadcast, so I'm not going to look it up.
25 degrees at Penn State this weekend. Yes. 25 degrees in Columbus this weekend. 60 in Austin. So it's going to be cold this weekend.
Yeah.
For the college football playoffs.
Going to need to wear a jacket if you're going to the one in Austin.
Yes.
SMU. A light jacket.
Yeah, SMU. You know, they're gonna learn what it's like.
I Dallas does get cold.
Yeah, I did see a map today.
Dallas does.
Like, it was like a chance of snow on Christmas, no chance of snow. And it goes right through Dallas. Where, like, Dallas has a chance of snow for Christmas.
Yeah, I do think it is. People just see Texas and think, like, oh, it doesn't get cold. No, in North Texas, it does.
It snows
regularly.
Yeah.
So I don't know how big of a factor it is. There is, like, obviously levels to it, and I think it'll also be pretty windy in State College, and that super sucks. I can say as a Texan, that sucks. 20 degrees and windy when you're not used to it isn't good. But I do wonder how big weather will play a factor. I'm sure we'll do is just play the results of who won and who lost and treat it like that. Even like if
the only one I think it'll affect will be Indiana Notre Dame because there's a chance of snow. Everything else will be fine.
Yeah. Because even like Knoxville to Columbus, like that's not that wildly different of we're not getting a Florida to one of these schools or LSU to one of these schools. Like for the most part, it is schools that are relatively familiar with the kind of climate.
Yeah, it's not what we thought it would look like originally, right? Where it was like Ole Miss, Alabama, Arizona State.
Yeah.
These schools who are literally going to be going into weather like that they never, ever see. Yeah, unless it has to snow hard for it to be a factor. I don't think the weather's really good. It's just kind of ironic that it's going to be cold at all these games.
Yeah.
So the only major coach we saw really get fired this year, West Virginia was opened up. I think Jimbo Fisher is still the betting favorite to be the head coach.
Oh,
No, they hired Rich Rod.
They hired
Rich Rod. Yes, that's right. They brought him home, which was the right move. North Carolina.
Yeah.
Which Purdue. Is now filled by Belichick. Purdue, yeah, major. There's really no like major.
No,
this year.
There's no.
Are we? Like,
I don't think there's an SEC job that opened, right?
I don't believe so. I mean, I think so. The only thing that's potentially on the table still is Ryan Day.
Yes. As funny as it is, the sixth seed in the tournament is still. Or no, eighth seed.
Yeah,
is still up for grabs.
I don't think James Franklin will get fired.
No.
The only other ones I could see open up potentially would be Notre Dame could open if, you know, Marcus Freeman does want to go to Ohio State. Would break my heart, but that's possible. I wonder if Dan Lanning's going to get a call from the NFL.
Oh, from the NFL. I don't think he's,
I don't think he wants to.
I also don't think he's like an NFL, like why not Kirby Smart then? You know, like they're both.
Yeah, you know, you're
they're
right.
Both guys that just have kind of mastered the recruiting and the, you know, getting college players amped up. I mean, we've seen all the locker room footage from both those guys, you know, pregame, during the game, in the halftime locker room with Dan Lanning like smashing a helmet in the with a sledgehammer in during halftime. I just don't know how. Oh, you get the best players to play for your team because you have Phil Knight basically bankrolling your NIL. Yeah, sure. Come to the Bears. Come to the Jets to do it. I don't think the skills overlap that much.
All right. Last thing here. We'll kind of do two for one of the six pack and have it. We might even end up just going to one. Honestly, we'll see. Because this is going to be a lengthy conversation, it feels like. Marshall withdrew from their bowl game because they couldn't fill the roster because of the transfer portal. And then James Franklin, all these coaches have been going on these tangents, rants about the transfer portal, the timing of it. Penn State's backup quarterback had to enter the transfer portal because this is when it's open. They're talking about it being unfair to the players, to the teams that are in the college football playoff. What are your thoughts?
I'll take the James Franklin one first.
Yeah.
You know the team that you're playing, SMU, their backup quarterback's also in the transfer portal, and he is practicing with the team and is going to be the backup quarterback for when you play them.
Mm-hmm.
You know Devin Brown is also in the transfer portal, and he is still practicing with Ohio State and will be the backup quarterback when they play Tennessee.
I believe Arizona State.
Arizona State, like half their roster is, yes. Or not half. But a good amount of
their coach went on, did a press conference, and he said, like, I will help you find a new school. Just hang out with us for the college football playoffs.
Yes. It is possible, James Franklin, to have these guys transfer and still play in, you know, your most important games of the season. So while I do agree with, like, yeah, this is a tough situation, it sucks, there also is ways around this. Like, I do think that we don't know the full story with how either the quarterback, Bo Prabula, mm-hmm. decided that he doesn't... I mean, because it should be noted, his role on the team, he is not just the backup quarterback. Like, they use him in Wildcat-type formations. They have him run the ball. So he does play regularly in these games. And so maybe that's a factor in whether Bo Prabula doesn't want to take those hits for a team that he's not going to be playing for next year. Or... maybe it's James Franklin, because we see coaches, a lot of coaches have this philosophy for if you're in the portal, you're not on the team anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we need to find out is it a quarterback decision that he doesn't want to play? And, you know, again, Preston Stone still wants to play for SMU. Devin Brown still open to playing for Ohio State. Or is it a James Franklin, if you're in the portal, I don't want you decision? And it's very easy to go, you know, things got to change. You know, this calendar, it's so messed up. Which,
yeah,
honestly, if this is where it comes in of, do you still want to pretend that these guys aren't professional athletes? Because the reason the transfer portal has to be going on right now is because the fall semester just ended in most colleges in America.
Yeah, and they have to get to class and enroll
by January. Yeah, so unless you want to move the playoff or move the academic calendar of America... there really is no way around it.
Yeah, and that's why, like, when they're like, they got to fix it. I'm like, what do you mean? What do you mean?
And it's such an easy thing to do, is to go, we got to fix things. Things are messed up now. Yeah, and like, people go, yeah, things are messed up now. Because for the most part, if you're a fan of a team, you're like, yeah, my players are transferring away. The guys I want to root for are transferring.
But, like, how is a player supposed to, like you said, they want these kids to be student athletes, right? How is someone supposed to transfer from the University of Houston to Rice for their final three semesters of college, in which there are going to be very specific classes that they need to take to graduate college. And then when they don't get there till March, because they've moved the transfer portal for these coaches, all those classes are full.
Yeah. Or for a lot of times, you can't register for classes after like February 2nd or something.
So it's where there's a clear disconnect between the coaches, the universities, the transfer portal. I agree. It's not great. I don't think the transfer portal should be happening right now. I don't know how else you fix it, though.
Yeah, or you just go, there's only going to be a spring portal window. It's only going to be after spring practice, after the spring semester.
That I'm fine with.
Then you can. But coaches are like, no, I want the guys that I'm portaling in
you want them
to be able to practice in the spring.
Yeah, Bill Belichick wants to be able to have his whole new roster in place.
For spring practice,
yes.
Over the summer, and then fall. People don't want to just have spring practice, or, you know, the summer workouts, and then fall practice, because you want to be able to know if these guys can play or not, or if you need to hit the portal again. So this always gets framed as a coach complaining about the players that they're losing, while completely ignoring that James Franklin is trying to add in the portal as well.
Yeah, and that's part of it. I do like the idea of, like, we talk about so much of, like, your, like, when things should be played, and like the NBA when they're not getting, like no one really cares during football season. I do wonder, like, if as the college football playoff expands, like, if they're going to go backwards at all in terms of starting the season earlier. Like, if they expand to 16 teams, like, I can't imagine the NFL loves the idea that, you know, on Saturday, the Texans and Patrick Mahomes are going to be playing a game at noon, and they've got a game that kicks off at 11.
I mean, I don't think the NFL cares.
No, I think college football.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, they probably don't love it.
No, they probably don't love it, but at a certain point, like, if you're going to run a football league, or, you know, a football endeavor, you're going to have to play during football season.
Yeah, now look, it is.
You're going to have to 100%. Go head-to-head against the NFL at some point.
Now, they got it right in January, where January 9th and January 10th, the semifinal games are on a Thursday and Friday.
Yes, and that's why they always play the national championship game on a Monday,
yeah.
Is because that is the Monday of, I think that's after the divisional round. Or no,
that's
this year will be after the championship.
January 20th.
The championship games, I believe.
No, that's the divisional round.
Okay, yeah.
Because Super Bowl's not until February 9th.
Yeah, so they always play the Monday after the divisional round.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm good with the transfer portal, like, the idea of it. I do think they need to alter it a little bit, but I also don't need the coaches to constantly be complaining about it when you're right. They could just, the kids can play.
Yeah.
Like, they don't have to leave.
You don't have to leave.
Yeah.
You can be in the portal. You can even have your next school lined up. You can probably even, I don't know if you can actually sign with your new school, but
I think that's actually, like, what they should do. Like, let them sign.
Yeah, because, I mean, we're talking about this with Dell earlier today, or I was at least. Where, like, this happens in other sports, where guys know that they're not going to play there next year, and they finish out the year. Like, in soccer, you can get signed. If your contract expires, or is about to expire, you can negotiate with new teams before the season ends.
Yeah.
And then go to your new team when the season after the season ends. So you play out the string with your team. Like, there's no reason that you can't do that for, especially, like, Bo Prabula, who is going to be a backup quarterback, or is a backup quarterback, is probably going to be a starter in, like, the American Athletic Conference. Maybe he goes to a Big Ten school. But
yeah, I was thinking, like, maybe he goes to a Big Ten school.
But chances are, if he goes to a Big Ten school, A, with the way how big the conferences are, you might not even play him. He might be in your conference, and you just don't play him for 2 years. Or I seriously doubt he's going to transfer to a school that's on Penn State's level competitively.
Yeah, I mean, he had some good moments when he started, but, like, he's not, like, a guy.
Yeah, no.
It seems like.
It's going to be a guy, or he's going to go to a place that either needs a starter, and they can look at his high school recruiting ranking, high school tape, and be like, you know, here at interschool, you know, Memphis or whatever, or, you know, Central Florida, we don't normally get a guy who was a four-star 2 years ago, or
I did think it was interesting that, like, this is all happening, like, for the James Franklin part of this conversation, because Drew Aller's already just like, yeah, I'm coming back.
That's probably why, by the way, that's probably why your backup quarterback wants to leave, is that your starter said he's coming back.
Yeah, and honestly, like, that's what, they have the spring portal, so, like, they can leave after that, but it's not a perfect system. And I know James Franklin also suggested the idea of having a commissioner. I agree. Having a commissioner. Well, you will have a commissioner at some point. When the Big Ten and the ACC eat all the conferences, and we have two conferences.
Yeah.
And it's one giant league, and the ACC and the Big 12 and the Pac-12 are all dead, and everything is just absorbed into two conferences, there will be a commissioner.
Or when these guys stop pretending that these guys are athletes, or student athletes.
Yeah.
And they just are employees of the school. And then you can just move the transfer portal the day after the national championship game, because you don't need to have these guys worry about enrolling in classes.
Yeah. And it's just, all of it's, They don't know what they're doing when they started it. Like, you can kind of see it now. Like, it's kind of chaos unfolding.
All this goes, like, trickles down from the decision of the NCAA to drag their feet on fighting it in court when the NIL stuff in court, fighting the transfer portal stuff in court, where it goes all the way up to the Supreme Court, and then they get a decision against their favor, 9-0, where it's like the only thing that all 9 Supreme Court justices agree on is that they look at how college football used to be, or college sports used to be before 2019, and they go, wait, what? You're not paying these guys anything?
Yeah.
These guys can't make any money? And they say there's no other like industry in America where this would fly. And because they drug their feet, because they didn't have a plan in place to implement this stuff, it just all gets figured out on the fly. And that's why it's so chaotic and disorganized.
I am curious, what do you think how do you think this all changes, like the transfer portal, when they start just paying guys? Like when they become employees, like,
yeah, well, then you can sign an agreement where instead of just a scholarship agreement,
yeah,
and then NIL different than that, you will actually get revenue that is shared from the school to the player. So in theory, you could sign there'll be a mutual option after year two, but you'll be here at U of H for 2 years. No more of this. We recruit you all during high school. You don't play your freshman year because, of course, you're not going to play at Alabama or at, Michigan or Ohio State as a true freshman for the most part. Some guys do, but for the most part, you're not going to play. You're going to be highly recruited. We're going to tell you how much we love you when you're a high schooler. But just because we have 2 first-round picks ahead of you, you're not going to play. Then you're going to get mad and transfer to Ole Miss after 6 months of being on campus. They can nip that in the bud by just making these guys sign 1+1s or 2+1s or something like that.
Yeah, I think it'll be, and even then, like, would you want to, like, I mean, my guess is there will be playoff incentives for these guys. Like, they will,
yeah,
there will be some kind of, like, why would you, if you're this, if you're Bo, the Penn State backup quarterback who's entered the transfer portal, even if you could get out of your contract, because, like, does the contract end at the end of the regular season?
Like, I wouldn't write it that way.
I wonder, like, the players, if they successfully unionize, which I think they will this time, that's what they're going to fight for. Like, they're going to fight for being able to get out. That's what they should fight for, is being at the end of the regular season. But if you're the universities, like, if you are Alabama, if you are Ole Miss and Texas and these schools, you can put in there, like, hey, like, we make the college football playoff. Like, even if you just stick around, like, you get way more money.
Yeah. And I do think it's interesting that Deion Sanders has said that Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter are going to play in the Alamo Bowl. I think it's reported that Miami, for Miami in the Pop-Tarts Bowl, that Cam Ward is going to play.
Did you see the trophy?
Yes. With a fully operational toaster on the top of it.
Awesome.
Shaped like a football. It is an awesome trophy. Maybe that's why Cam Ward wants to play. But it does seem like in all these quote-unquote meaningless bowl games that are even more meaningless because now it's not even the Sugar Bowl and you're a 10-2 team. Like, that is just going to be a playoff game from now on. That it is only the games that, like, weren't New Year's Six games are the only bowl games that are still around for these teams not in the playoff. These guys are playing in it more and more. And I wonder, is this just all of a sudden everyone woke up and decided that they want to play in bowl games now?
I think there's NIL money we don't know about.
I think there's NIL money that we don't know about. And I feel like that's the fix, or that's the solution to this, is you just write it in these guys' contracts that if we make the playoff, you play. Even if we make the Pop-Tarts Bowl, you still play.
Well, also, just like the bowls should be paying NIL money.
Yes, Pop-Tarts should be paying Cam Ward.
Yeah, they should be saying, hey, we'll pay you another $1 million just to play in this game.
Yeah.
And, you look at what – we aired the
Texas Bowl?
The Players Tournament or whatever it was called in Las Vegas a couple weeks ago for Texas A&M. They played at U of H, played at Notre Dame, played.
Oh, yeah. The
it was an NIL tournament in which if you got first, second, third, fourth, fifth, whatever place,
you get different payouts.
You got different NIL payouts. Like, that is the – that's actually how you save the bowl game so you don't have situations like Marshall, which I'm not going to read Coug Blaze's joke, but if you want to see a joke about Marshall, you can go to our Twitch.
I can put it together.
I'm not reading
the main bullet point from Marshall football.
Yeah, I'm not reading it. It did make me chuckle and prove me not a bad person. Mm. But that's how you fix the bowl games.
Yeah.
The only other thing for college football that I want to mention here, I think we've gone too far sometimes with people and their ideas on social media, because I saw someone's suggestion was an NIT for college football. I don't need it.
Football, that's like inhumane.
Yeah.
To have these guys playing for the NIT. Like,
I don't need it. I don't need Alabama and Ole Miss and like Texas A&M. Don't need it. Please don't. I'm just gonna. I don't know if anyone would consider that a real idea.
Yeah.
But I saw like some like high level people like say, like, hey, what do we do this? No. Don't do it.
No.
Please don't.
I mean, also, like we talk about wanting the playoff games wanting to avoid kicking off at the same time as Texans Chiefs. Like, what do you think an NIT playoff game is going to get?
Yeah, I don't need the NIT and the CBT and the whatever else BTs of college basketball. I definitely don't need them in football.
Again,
we should be eliminating all of it anyways.
Again, where it's like much more violent of a game. Yeah. These guys are shortening their lives to play to be the 13th best team in the country.
Yeah, hard pass. All right, when we get back, DJ Bieniemy, ESPN.com. He joins us in studio, getting you ready for Texans Chiefs and this rest of the tough schedule for the Texans. That's next here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.